102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. This is Plugged Into Long Island. Good morning. My name is Fingers, and I am here today with Don Gomo from GoMotorcycling.com and American Iron Magazine, where he writes a column called Safety Skills, and certainly something we can all use driving a motorcycle. And if you don't ride a motorcycle and you ride a car, you could use your safety skills to know how to watch out for us. May is Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. Don has been nice enough to come in and help us get started off with the month and protect ourselves as well as enjoy the roadways. So, Don, first of all, thanks for coming in. And second of all, the Full Throttle magazine that's out here does all kinds of stuff related to the motorcycle community. And it's always about parties and events and fundraisers, and then there's some fun stuff in there, of course, pictures and things. But one of the things that will be in the magazine this month is the safety awareness that's going on. Last month there was a, earlier this month, there was a motorcycle run to promote motorcycle safety awareness and indeed let people know the season is here. We're out there.
Yes.
And motorcycling as a sport is something that for most of the riders is a seasonal thing. And with that being said, now with the weather breaking, everybody's ready to hop out on their bikes.
Right.
As a person on a motorcycle, what's the first thing we should be looking out for when we get back out on the road for the season?
For ourselves as motorcyclists, what we really need to concentrate on is, for a lot of us, we haven't been on the bike for several months. Some people even put their motorcycles away when it starts getting below 70 degrees outside. So it's been 6 months since they've been riding. Mm-hmm. So just to hop on their motorcycle once again, their skills are not where they were back in when they stopped riding. Right. Some of them didn't have a skill level that was all that great to begin with. But your skill levels aren't really right there. Your reaction time is reduced. Your muscles are reduced. Riding does take some physical aspect to it, especially upper body. So
yeah, sure. You
fatigue
be in shape.
Will come in. And the problem is with fatigue, you don't recognize it until it's too late.
Right.
So for us as riders, we should start getting into a little bit of a practice groove. Keep our rides shorter in the beginning of the year till we get physically adapted to it. Reprocess the mental aspect of it, because right. We've been driving cars for the most part of the winter.
Yeah, there is a definite shift that you need to make.
So we need to develop our awareness of what's happening around us.
As a rider, whether new or old, because some of us may have a couple of years more under our belt riding than others, it does not necessarily equate to being a more skilled rider.
Correct. That's one thing motorcyclists need to recognize is experience is not the same as skills. Experience, whether we've been riding for 20, 30 years or longer or less, will afford us the benefit of recognizing a situation that may develop ahead, even as a car driver. The more you drive, you've become instinctive of situations. This car is going to shift this lane. It's going to pull out. You kind of have that idea.
Right.
Experience will give you that. But if you don't have the proper skills to back up your experience, then your experience really does nothing for you. Right. Skills is far different than experience. Skills is knowing how to operate the motorcycle properly, especially in emergency situations.
Now, you are a riding coach.
Yes.
So your expertise lends it to somebody, whether they're new to riding or a seasoned veteran in riding, can learn a lot from the course that you give and from the information that you have available on your website.
Right. I am a rider coach with the Motorcycle Safety Program of New York State. They do have a website. It's nysmsp.org. The state follows the Motorcycle Safety Foundation curriculum. We offer a variety of courses for the beginner. We have a course where, pending that they do well over the weekend, they get an endorsement for their license so they don't have to take a road test. And the coursework's very good. It's designed for somebody that's never been on a motorcycle. Yeah.
Speaking of the road test, just to interject here, the interesting thing about the DMV take on the motorcycle license is when you take your written license to get your permit, like 20% of the test is about the bike.
Right. The rest are DWI questions and a couple traffic signs.
Exactly. So really, it behooves you to take that extra step and take a course, whether it's a beginner or an experienced.
Right. Especially for a beginner, we teach them the basic skills and understanding of riding the motorcycle, as well as the risks associated with motorcycling. Motorcycling is a dangerous sport.
True.
We have to realize that we can get in an accident at any time, whether it be our fault or somebody else's, where we could get injured, crippled, or even worse, we could actually die. So we have to be aware of those risks. And education, though it doesn't remove all the risks, helps reduce them.
From the, I got a couple of stats here just to kind of enlighten some of the people out there that may not see the real picture here. This is from the National Highway Transportation Safety Association. This single vehicle motorcycle crashes account for 45% of all motorcycle fatalities. What are we hitting?
It's a single vehicle. You're basically, the blame is on the rider.
Right.
And when they write those statistics, they include everything. It could be from them being under their influence, going too fast into a turn, doing improper cornering into a turn, straightaways. You know, it's the rider's fault.
A lot of it's going off the road.
Right. A lot of it is definitely going off the road. That's the mass majority. But 45 to 50% of those accidents being single vehicle, that should be an alarming flag for riders saying, hey, we're at fault. As much as we like to say is watch out for the other guy.
Right.
It's us.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing is that you know you're on a bike. So you have to assume that everybody out there is an idiot and doesn't see you, because if you try and, you know, if you're just shooting in the road and figuring everybody sees me and doing what I'm doing and I'm doing 45 and a 30 and grandma starts backing out the driveway, I'm pretty sure as you're sailing over the hood of her car, you're going to be going, oh, she didn't see me.
Right. We have to be, as riders, we have to be aware of the conditions around us. And for drivers, they have to understand that we're coming into the season new. There's more motorcyclists coming out now. It's spring. We're getting a fever. Gas prices are making us want to ride more, too, gas economy on a bike is better than a car.
Absolutely.
And car drivers need to recognize that there's a depth perception issue. We don't look like we're going as fast as we really are.
Right.
They have to take in things into consideration. A car takes the whole lane width up, where a motorcyclist uses the whole width of the lane to adjust for road conditions. If there's potholes, we're going to swerve to go around them if we can.
Right.
Motorcycles, for the most part, a lot of them do not have self-canceling directionals. So they may forget to turn their blinker off, and you may think they're going to make a turn, and you make a turn, and then that you have that collision that is infamous of a car making a left turn.
And just because a biker is sitting in the right side hugging the line and just cruising down the road doesn't mean that you have a right to the rest of the lane.
No. You, as much as they say share the road,
that is
a little bit on the illegal side. You have to be aware of us. And our profile, it's easier for a car, especially if they're following a motorcycle, to see past us and just see the car ahead. So there's a lot of accidents on Long Island that are rear-end collisions, especially during the rush hours. If you're a motorcyclist during those rush hours, you really need to be aware of this, of your surroundings, because drivers will look past you because we're smaller in profile.
Right.
We have to be aware of ourselves. Those things on the handlebars are just not to polish. Those are mirrors. We should use them.
You know, interestingly enough, it says more motorcycle fatalities occur on rural roads, and half of the fatalities are related to negotiating a curve prior to the crash.
Right. Curves are a big one. Like I said, the experience is not the same as skill. It takes a lot of skill to approach a corner, a radius, a curve, whatever it would be, correctly.
Right.
And if you're going in too fast, or you brake incorrectly during a turn, or you're doing things,
or even if you're doing everything right and you didn't see the sand.
Sure. Road conditions, or it's raining, or there's oil or antifreeze on the road. There's so many things. We have to be aware. We're riding the vehicle that's two wheels that covers, the tires
yeah,
cover
the
maybe.
The palm of your hands. Yeah. Look at your hands, and either palm is the up space that we're occupying on the road.
Right, and it takes more skill because we're dealing with stability and balance.
Right.
We're more mental processing and physical skills for a motorcycle. We're using both our hands and both our feet for controls via clutch and braking.
Right.
Or a car, you just turn the key, put it in drive, and you go.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of thinking involved. For somebody on a motorcycle, they have to think a lot when they're doing situations.
Exactly. You're tuned in to 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 WBLI. This is Plugged Into Long Island. It's Fingers. We're talking with Don Gomo from GoMotorcycling.com. And he also is a safety skills columnist for American Iron Magazine. His most recent issue column is about the effects of alcohol on us riding. And interestingly enough, all of our bike runs almost end at a bar or a pub or some other facility where there's a watering hole.
Seems to be an odd mix, doesn't it?
So there's nothing wrong with having a beer and hanging out for a few hours watching a band, but don't have a beer and, you know, and a shot and then another thing and then get on your bike. That's not a good thing.
Right. That can really increase the risk.
So what kind of motorcycle does Don Gomo ride?
Since I'm a firm believer that one is not enough and you need multiple bikes, I have a 2007 Harley-Davidson Ultra CVO, a 1999 Buell S3 for my sportier, aggressive side.
Yep.
And I'm redoing a 72 Honda CB350 for old-school cafe style, plus it gets over 70 miles to a gallon, and this day and age, that's a good thing.
Make two of those. We have a lot of people on the island that do a lot of motorcycling and that do trips and stuff. When you're going on a trip, what is the best thing that you can do to prepare yourself for doing a long trip as opposed to tooling around on the island?
Long trips take a lot of thought process, and you got to know where you're heading. You got to look at the routes. I mean, there's many different ways. There's tons of websites that give tons of information in regards to traveling long distances, weekends and stuff, on how to pack. You don't want to overpack the bike,
right?
Because weight is an issue. If you have a passenger, weight is an issue for your braking distances, your starting distances, your handling.
I'll give you a scenario. You tell me the safety answer.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your bike, it's packed, you got a passenger, you're in the middle of nowhere, you get a blowout in the back tire. What do you do?
Blowouts are scarier on a motorcycle.
Because that's something that experience might teach you, but it'd be good to know what to do ahead of time, a skill in that.
Sure. The one thing you don't want to do is, especially if you know if it's a rear tire blowout, you don't want to apply the brakes to there because that's going to cause handling problems. If a tire does blow out, obviously you're going to feel it right away.
Sure.
The best thing is to decelerate as slowly and as safely as you can and then pull over to a safe spot on the side of the road. If it's a front tire, same approach. Obviously, your handling will really be affected.
Right.
But you don't want to apply any brake into a tire that's flopping all over the road. So you want to safely pull over. And decelerating really fast is almost the same as braking because you're using the engine torque. It's engine braking.
Right,
so you want to decelerate slowly.
The inertia will take
it
down.
And the one thing is, don't panic. As soon as you panic, you're freezing up, you're rigid. The outcome could be bad from that.
So stay calm.
Stay calm.
And let the bike slow
down. I know it's easier to say than do.
Well, yeah, but you need to know that in your mind because you don't want the after effects of freaking out.
Right. Well, that's where the education portion, especially for riders that have been riding for a while, taking an advanced riding education course, like the BRC2 that they call it now with the MSF.
Now, what might somebody who, you know, versus the beginner's class, obviously you pretty much assume what they're going to learn there, but what might somebody be, you know, privy to in a experienced course?
Well, the next level that they have, the state program has in the MSF after the beginner, is a rider course called BRC2. It's mostly all exercises, where the beginner class is classroom and riding exercises combined. The second level is just all riding exercises. We interject information during breaks.
Okay.
The second level is basically 9 exercises. 8 of them are taken from the beginner course. The advantage of it is you learn to adjust your basic skills on your own motorcycle, which is if you have a big bike, a big Harley, a big Yamaha, whatever you're riding, obviously it's going to handle different than a 250cc training bike.
Right.
So you learned how to do the basic skills with your own bike, which feels a lot different, and you get a better sense of control.
Do the actions that you take in most safety situations apply to bikes across the board, or would you have different actions to take on, say, a 250 versus a Goldwing?
The actions, the basic approach, skill-wise, is pretty much the same.
Okay.
It's the understanding that with a larger bike, that your braking distance is going to be increased. Your turning radius is, especially if you're riding a sport bike, sport bikes don't turn as sharp as cruisers. So adjusting for slower speeds is a skill that you practice. Anybody could do 70 miles or 80 miles an hour in a straight line with no problem. Moving around at a slow rate of speed and moving around on corners where a lot of accidents happen, that's where the skills really start helping you.
Okay. When a person is in a situation where they're coming up fast on something on their bike, traffic just stops automatically, and you realize that you're going to brake and the bike's going to come out from under you, there's a general thought that goes around that you should lay the bike down.
Is that
smart?
Most rider coaches around the country, when they hear that phrase, they just shudder. There's a cold shaft that goes down their spine. The thought process of when you hear, I had no choice but to lay the bike down, usually means they did something incorrect. The logic of having a motorcycle sliding on its metal and plastic, you have no control of it. Having a motorcycle that's sliding possibly on top of you is going to hurt, and you have no control of it.
Absolutely.
This is the skill portion. Learning how to brake or swerve properly does not guarantee that you'll not have impact.
Right.
But it seems more logical to have a motorcycle that's upright and doing the best you can to control it than having it sliding down the road with you possibly on it or it going over you or whatever may happen.
Right.
And in the worst case scenario, perhaps you minimize the impact that may happen. Learning how, there's tons of information out there that shows motorcyclists have a partial fault in accidents, although a driver may have initiated the process by running the stop sign or pulling out in front. But when you see a motorcycle crash 50, 60 feet before the car and they never hit the car, that kind of tells you they did something wrong.
Right.
Where that distance could have been used to hopefully stop safer.
And probably panic was involved.
Right. That's where, you know, as much as we and myself say, go out, learn the skills, practicing them is the big thing. Because it's a constant involvement in learning how to ride a motorcycle. You have to keep those skills sharp for right. when you need them.
Right.
If you just take the course and you don't practice, all you're really doing is getting a possible insurance reduction and you're not gaining anything out of it.
Right. And somewhere along the way, you're going to run into the first. You know, yeah. The first front flat, the first back flat, sure. The first time you drop your bike.
You ride in the rain, everybody
right.
panics.
You hit the grass and slide, whatever mm-hmm. kind of different things. And knowing in advance that one of the key elements is keeping your cool and your balance and your control of the bike.
Right.
And then you can, when you're in that state of mind, you can more easily grab back into the Rolodex and go, okay, I know right. I need a split second to figure out what to do, but you can do it.
Right. That's one thing where the experience side will help you. Though you practice your skills, nobody's really going to go practicing trying to come to a quick stop on sand or grass or in mud. We're not going to do that. You know, we don't want to take that chance of crashing our bike just to practice. But when you're in those conditions, from the more you ride, the more chances you're going to be in those elements.
Right.
You get that little bit of experience, and you back it up with some skills that you've practiced, you have a better chance of coming out of it.
In addition to taking care of ourselves and being responsible on the road, we have accountability. And I believe, as a motorcyclist, not only do I have an accountability to myself and to the public at large, but to the motorcycle community itself. We, unfortunately, are looked on upon by the public in one of two ways. Generally, it's, oh, those dirty bikers. Or it's, oh, isn't it nice that they've gotten all together to help out somebody in the community, because there's 1,000 of them together riding somewhere. And there's certain people are going to just think whatever they're going to think. However, we can make sure that people don't look at us in a negative light by not doing certain things. Hey, you know what? If you want to do a wheelie on your bike, go down at a parkway down by the beach when there's no one there and knock yourself out.
Right.
Don't get hurt. God bless you. But if you're going to do it down the LIE,
that's just
I don't
insane.
Care what kind of bike you're on, every biker now is an idiot.
Right. We have to represent ourselves as in the sport. We're a small percentage of the vehicles out there overall. And like you said, there's a lot of people that just consider you're on a motorcycle, you're an outlaw type of person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the media, especially the press, likes to kind of focus a little bit on the negative stuff, the
yeah.
people that are in police chases, the people that are doing wheelies, the crashes.
Right.
As much as a lot of motorcycle organizations, clubs, and groups do great work and raise a lot of money for charities and do a lot of good stuff, it's not as exciting. It doesn't sell as many papers.
Right. The picture isn't as good as seeing a bike splatter
right.
on the ground.
So the better we can do to make ourselves look better, it makes the sport look better.
Right. Right. And that's, and you know, if we're going to bring more people into the sport, we should at least bring them in with open arms and open minds.
Right. we want to bring new people into riding. That's the key with the motorcycling, to keep it growing. Right now, the average age of a rider is approximately 48 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There are still a lot of new riders coming in, but the big abundance of us are the older riders.
Right. And just because we're not doing 100 miles an hour, don't mean that we're not cool.
Right. Yes.
And just because you kids got your fast, cool-ass bikes, doesn't mean you have to go out there and try and kill yourselves either.
Right.
We're talking to Don Gomo on Plugged Into Long Island on 106.1 BLI and 102.3 WBAB. It's Fingers hanging out with Don. And Don is a MSF rider coach for the New York State. You can check out more information at nysmsp.org and check out his column in American Iron Magazine. He does the safety skills column. And if you want to touch base, can I give out your email address?
Certainly.
Your email address for Don is gomotorcycling@gmail.com. And you can check out his website as well as gomotorcycling.org, which is in the process of being refurbished, I understand.
Yes, it is.
So I can't thank you enough for coming down. As a person in a car, what tips do you have for watching out for us? We're watching out for each other. We're watching out for the cars. How does a car, you know, somebody who's driving right now to church or something?
A couple of big things. When a car, if you're a car driver at an intersection, look twice before you pull out. If you do see a motorcycle, wait that extra second or two to make sure that you know what they're doing. If they're going to turn, if they're going to go straight, make sure you know what they're going to do.
Yeah, don't just think that you can hammer the gas and get out in front of them,
right?
Because you don't want to be that guy.
Because of the depth perception, once again, you may not be able to judge how fast the rider is actually going, and you may think you have time to pull out, and then
right.
you don't. Check your blind spots. We're smaller in profile.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I tell riders to try and stay out of cars' blind spots, if we're in heavy traffic, that's kind of hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Look over your shoulder. We have a tendency just to look in the mirror and move over. Well, there might be a motorcycle there.
Right.
We're
and
small.
Just because you don't hear us doesn't
yeah.
mean that we're not there.
Right.
You know, you're in there with the car radio cranking, the kids in the back, you got the DVD player on, and God forbid you're texting. If you're still texting while you're driving, go to textingawareness.org and find out why you should stop.
Yes.
Not just about us. You know, there's kids getting off of school buses. There's all kinds of stuff going on the road. Long Island is a very densely populated place.
Yes.
And we need to watch out for each other because it's a great place to live, but it's a lousy place to ride a motorcycle.
It is challenging. And I commute on a regular basis throughout Long Island and into the city on motorcycle. And whether you're in a car or on a motorcycle, you always see these other people in the car next to you. They're texting. They're eating a full course breakfast in the morning.
Reading the paper.
They're shaving. They're reading the paper. They're putting makeup on. So our biggest problem as riders is the unaware driver.
Yeah.
And those unaware drivers are bad for other drivers, too. They're sooner or later, they're just a time bomb.
That's right. If you can, put a sticker on your car. Let people know that it is Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. It is the month of May. You got all month to let everybody in your neighborhood know. Watch out for the motorcycles, and they'll watch out for us.
And keep us in mind all year round. Riders do ride all year, but we're getting into the season, and we're coming out in full force now. Warm weather brings us out.
That's right. And you know what? If you see a bike run, the run is probably doing something nice for somebody in the community. So give it the extra 5 minutes out of your day to let it pass. Don't try and shoot through it, please.
Yes.
I do a run on New Year's Day. For the Cold Finger Run, we do that for children with cancer. We do the Breast Cancer Run for the Sticky Finger Run in August. And I can't tell you how many times, no matter all the planning, all the police in the world, some jackass along the way wants to get in that run.
Yeah.
With his car.
And it's because they're not thinking. And the other side, for us riders, if you see a car moving into your group, let him in. You're not going to beat a car.
Yeah. Just let him go and do what he's got to do. Slow down. And, you know, just,
right.
No. We don't want anybody getting hurt.
We have to do this together between car drivers, motorcycle riders. We have to adjust. We ask a little more for the car drivers, but we have to be aware of everything that's happening out there.
That's right. Don, thank you very much for coming down and speaking with us. I'm plugged into Long Island. It's 106.1 BLI and 102.3 WBAB. My name is Fingers. May, Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. Enjoy it, promote it, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Bye.